Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lights, hi, everybody. Welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour. I hope you're doing well. You look fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Today, we have a very special episode. It's a great way to ring in the new year. I'm here with the Fallout Roundtable. I'm here. Would you guys want to introduce yourself? You want to just go in the order that you guys are? Sassy, Romer, and Jaxus. You guys want to just introduce that way?
I'm the phenomenal Jaxus. How's everybody doing? I'm glad you're here to be on my show. Oh, sorry. Wrong for show. All right, Sassy, your turn.
Thank you for that. I am Sassy Lady. Thank you for having us. You might regret this.
Hi, I'm Romer. I'm not too far into it like Sassy is, so yeah.
But welcome. Thank you for being here. Normally what I do when I have guests, we started talking a little bit about what today's topic is going to be. So I just want to get right into... Actually, before we do this, why don't you guys tell me a little bit about your show so people at home know what you guys are up to and where they can find you and listen to you.
Who wants to talk?
Well, to be honest with you, when we can get everybody together, or at least three of us, we usually have a topic, and then we kind of do a round table discussion about it. We're not too much of a debating type of a group. We all pretty much, you know, because like some people are thinking like, oh, it's going to be.
I disagree. No.
but usually moderator. We bring up a topic and then we'll do different topics and stuff and we'll discuss them and have a good time with it. Usually pertaining to Fallout. So since.
Yeah, no, it's always pertaining to Fallout. It usually starts with Fallout. Sometimes might go into random other topics.
Until I bring everybody back.
And
on
that's
the
when,
tracks.
Yeah, when Jaxus says, let's find the train, let's find the tracks or something.
Sassy's 5,000 camps.
15 camps.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I don't 15. Know how many, I've forgotten how many shelters we have now. So I can't tell you how many shelters because I don't actually know.
But you know what? This is Vince's show. So let's let Vince take the show.
Well, he's the one that asked the question what it is
he
we do.
He did ask it's the question.
So, I mean, everybody, this is kind of what we do.
This is what we do. This is a taste of our show. It's a little bit of a train wreck, and that's okay.
I mean, and sometimes we have two others with us, too.
So. I'm more than happy to let you guys run. I'm getting over COVID, and my lungs shut down after like 15 minutes of talking. So it's been fun. I avoided COVID for almost 3 years and the entire pandemic. I didn't use Zoom until I did your show. And now I feel like other than learning how to make bread and watch Tiger King, I got the whole experience now. So, okay. My second question.
So again, are you saying there's a connection between Zoom and COVID?
I think there might be. I think Zoom might be profiting off COVID.
I was using Zoom long before COVID.
I just think it's funny how Skype totally missed it. Skype could have came back in a big bad way and they just
right?
don't know what they're doing.
Really but should.
My second question is a very simple one. It's what's your favorite Fallout and why?
It is not simple.
Okay, not even- I'll go. Mine is Fallout 76. And there is a very big reason. And it's because I enjoy the community aspect of gameplay and I love multiplayer. And I don't really care how anybody else feels about that. They can all kiss my butt. Anyway, I do enjoy all of the Fallout games, and I've played all of the Fallout games. So nobody can really complain to me unless you've played all of the Fallout games. Yes, I get it. There's a lot of people out there that are like really hardcore on Fallout Vegas. I love you, TKS Mantis. You know, I get along with you very well. And I know you hate 76, but I don't think that New Vegas is the game of games as everybody tries to claim it is. So, yeah. Anyway, I enjoy Fallout 76 because of its community aspect. And I also enjoy the gameplay. So there, take that.
Cool.
Sassy.
You want me to go next?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I love all the Fallouts for different reasons. I have not played one or two, probably will never play one or two. I've been watching my friend Jessica Starr play one and still doesn't motivate me to want to play it.
Very hard game to play.
Yeah. I have not finished New Vegas because I freeze and freeze and freeze again. I'm going to try it because I did get it on. Well, I have it on Steam and then I got it on some other platform for free for the 25th anniversary.
Nice.
So I'll play it somehow. Somehow I will play it probably next year.
I wonder if anybody's created stabilizer mods to make it more stable of a game for PC or whatever.
There is supposed to be. So I know, because I thought about fine, I'll just go play it on my
Xbox. Know what? You might go into TKS Mantis's Discord and actually post that question there, because a lot of the people there play New Vegas. And he probably would have some really good advice as to how to not have it crash on you and things like that, to be honest.
I'm sure. I'm trying to think how I was playing it the first time, because I was playing on my laptop. Of course, that may have had something to do with it. But my computer is getting a glow up for Christmas. I'm getting upgrades on, I think I'm getting a video card.
Nice.
And maybe some memory. I don't know exactly for sure. I don't know. My husband talks computer specs and I'm just like, because I don't understand it all. Like, my husband and my son had this whole conversation about stuff in the car today. And I was like, I don't understand all words coming out.
You do definitely need to play the game though, Sassy. You are missing out.
I'm going to. That's my New Year's resolution. And I want to start streaming too. And that's where I'm going to play that game and I'm going to probably stream it. So y'all can make fun of me.
Go with Caesar.
Probably not. It's kind of like when I was in Fallout 3 and I ended up being like the savior of the wasteland, because I just played it the way I would do things. Like, would I kill this person or would I, help them? And that's just, would I give water to that guy? Yeah, I probably would. I just played like how I would be.
Yeah.
And I ended up the savior of the wasteland. I mean, I stole some things, sure, but only because like I had to, not because, oh, I'm just going to steal everything because I can. Mm-hmm. No, it was mainly early game. So I guess I wiped all my sins away.
I remember my first game playthrough was it New Vegas? I killed everybody in 10 Pounded Tower.
That was
slaughtered. I slaughtered everyone.
That was what I ended up having to do.
Well, you have to do that if you go with the ghouls. Well, I didn't even know.
I didn't go in and kill them. The ghouls went right from the front door until I got to the top of the tower and I slaughtered everyone.
I didn't. I was really disappointed that the ghouls did. I thought that was kind of rude, but I get it. Whatever. I didn't love it. I did think it was rude. I was like, can't we all just live together? That was why I was trying to tell them. And then you come along. So anyway, they were right in the board, all along. You can't be trusted. So I did love Fallout 3. I loved Fallout 4 with the building component. I loved building me some big camps to the point where I couldn't get into my game anymore. It was amazing. I can't not get into my game at all on Xbox because I have built it to the gills. And I didn't even use mods because I didn't like
loading.
Yeah, pretty much because I had like the most fantastic port. For the, all built up for the Minutemen, and I had like these beautiful resorts built. I had this awesome beachside, and I was telling Indie Android about this on his podcast about how I built this really fun family resort on Nordhagen Beach, and he got really mad at me. If you've heard his podcast, he calls me out big time. He says I got to lay off Nordhagen Beach, never. But if you say to like, what's my favorite, probably I got to agree with Jaxus. I'm going with 76. And that's not because, 76 is like the best game ever. Cause we all know it's buggy as hell. We know.
It's the community.
For the longest time. Yes. Content was lacking. If you finished the end game, it was like, I'm just running around. Once they started bringing in new content, once they started bringing in the Brotherhood of Steel stuff, now that they're like really actively trying to bring in new stuff. I mean, Nuka World, is amazing. It's so much fun. Everybody. And I love these events where like everybody shows up and everybody's there. I love it because everybody is there. The community is there. I was telling them earlier today, I logged in about, half hour or so before we recorded our show. And I was just trying to knock out some dailies. And I logged in and my camp started shaking. And I was like, what is going on? And I'm being attacked by a stupid scorch beast. And I've never had a scorch beast at this camp before. And I'm in the mire. Sure, I know they're in the mire, but I've never had one before. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, I could kill this thing, but it's going to take like all my ammo. And I'm like, is it worth it? You know, and this guy out of nowhere, like level 300-400 shows up and helps me kill this scorch beast and then just disappears again. And I'm like, oh my gosh,
that weirdest thing is he came up wearing nothing but tidy whiteys and a cape.
That would have been amazing. Would it? No, he had on power armor. Like everybody has own power. I'm not a big power armor person. I will wear it when I'm overencumbered, but you know, and then I'm fixing my camp, you know, cause of course things got destroyed. So I'm repairing my camp and I was putting out some new stuff that I'd gotten at the Adam shop. And I was like, do, do, and putting it in and thinking like, okay, doing whatever I do, my pregame warm up, you know, cause I'm going to go do something. This particular character has not been to Nuka World yet. So I'm like, okay, waiting on an event to pop so I can just go there and I don't have to go find it. And somebody else shows up at my camp and they're looking around my camp and they're like, nice camp. And they dump off a bunch of stuff. And I'm looking at the little package that they dropped. 5 or 6 new plans. I had no idea. I'd never had, they're all Nuka World plans, brand new stuff that she didn't even have because she'd never been. And I was just like, this is awesome. And they're gone. But I'm just like, this is the cool thing about this community. And I know you can say what you want about 76 and how crappy it is. And you know, they don't pay attention to this game, whatever. I don't care. The community makes it for me. I love all the aspects of what you can do in 76 with role play and machinima and photography and camp building and just all the things that the players are making out of this world that Bethesda gave us. And that's why it's my favorite.
Romer, you're up.
Yes.
Your favorite Fallout and why, please.
Honestly, I'm going to have to go with Fallout 3 because it's what got me in. It's what got me into the series and stuff. I knew about Fallout 1, vaguely knew about Fallout 2. Wasn't really kind of my wheelhouse at the time. I was kind of like, you know. Mm. And I remember Fallout 3 at E3 was announced. And all I saw was first person perspective. And I felt at the time that just, it was saturated with first person shooters and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, no. And so I remember it went a few months and I wanted to find something that I could sink my teeth into. And everything was just like, you know, all best RPG at the time, Fallout 3. So fine, I'll give it a try. And that was history. It was just, I still remember walking out of that vault the first time and just being like, what the heck have I got myself into? And yeah. Straight down the hill into the school and sneaking all over the school and like didn't even realize Megaton was just around the corner. And I made a camp in a old bus on a busted up turn overpass, and that was like, and I had a crappy mattress, but I had storage boxes, and that's where I made my camp until I found it. It was just, I loved it, and I throwing money at the guy behind the counter when they announced New Vegas and stuff. And same thing with Fallout 4 was actually when they remember the countdown, they had the
site
with the countdown. I remember I watched the count. I was literally on my phone in my truck waiting for the countdown to finish, watched the trailer twice and made the decision that I was going to sell all of my 360 stuff and games. And I'm going to put it towards a PlayStation 4 and pre-ordered Fallout 4.
So, nice.
So yeah, I played Fallout 76 and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really liked what was the Nuclear Winter? Yeah. I like Nuclear Winter.
Me too.
I know not everybody did, but I really liked it because I was into the Battle Royale stuff too.
I like the idea of Battle Royale a lot.
Yeah.
I wish it was still there for people who want to do it. Like I would do it now. I didn't do it then, but I would now.
Honestly, and I think it was still available, I probably would still be playing it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I would try it. So, I mean, I heard so many things from people that you know, oh, you can't find a team, it takes forever to wait in lobby and blah blah blah. But I was like,
if they made a free to play game that was just Nuclear Winter that you could just download and pay a separate thing for it, I would have probably still been playing it. I've been playing Fortnite. Fortnite, like, I remember making fun of Fortnite all the time because it was nothing but 12-year-olds. It rips. It's so much fun. You get on with some buddies. Like, Battle Royale games are fun. I love the idea of them. I do.
I was more of a Black Ops 2 guy for a while.
I didn't play... No, Apex I did Legends. Play 2. I didn't like Apex.
I did, so...
Apex
I
Legends.
I can't stand Fortnite. I don't know. I just the building thing is what just get. I just like. Oh,
they got rid of. They got rid of the building. That's what I.
Played. I know.
The note. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that Zoom had a timer, and I'm just going to skip to what I think is the most important question on this quick six. And again, we'll go back in order. The voice protagonist, bad idea or worst idea ever?
I don't know if my opinion falls into that line because it didn't bother me either way.
No, say however you feel.
A voice protagonist doesn't bother me at all. I mean, I prefer hearing and cutscene kind of elements to games. Mm-hmm. That's why I enjoy things like Mass Effect and, you know, Oblivion and things like that, where it kind of cut to a kind of a verbal element. I when it's just like text at the bottom, I tend to lose interest and stop paying attention.
Okay.
I would go, I'm neutral about it, honestly. I mean, to me, it was fun, but at the same time, I always thought about, like, you know, how with the, with New Vegas and 3, like, if you lowered your IQ to a certain level, you would have like that, like, you know, the idiot option,
yeah,
you know, for speech and stuff like that. But that would be fun to actually have your guy be like, dah, you know, kind of thing and stuff. But I mean, that's just a lot of voice recording. But
yeah,
anyway, so I mean, it to me, it doesn't really matter. But, you know.
I'm just wondering where you were going with that. Like, what was your thought on that?
I was thinking of the fact that if you did have all the different options, like, you know, with, you know, depending upon your IQ or your karma and stuff like that, just how much more audio recording would have to be done for it. I don't know the tech side of it, if that would be, you know, just too much.
Back at Vince, and, you know, like, what did you mean? Because obviously you have an opinion.
Oh, I think it's the worst thing that they did. I think that killed Fallout 4, in my opinion. I think Fallout 4 could have been a much better game if they didn't have a voice protagonist. Like, don't get me wrong, when Romer was talking about, like, the trailer, like, when that trailer first came out, I've told the story before, when the trailer first came out, I was in school, and my school had a very strict no phone policy. And I watched it, and, like, the teacher at the time came over and was like, hey, who's playing the oldies? And I looked at him and I was like, you need to wait. And I just watched the trailer, and I walked out of class, and that was, like, such a big game for me when it was announced that I heard Let's Go Pal and, like, didn't care. And I was like, this is fine. This is going to be a-okay with the series. Like, nothing bad is going to happen. And then, like, I walked out of that classroom, and a kid who I barely knew, like, I might have talked to him because he was, like, a friend of a friend, grabbed me and went, did you see? And I went, yeah, of course I did. Like, it was huge for me. And then, like, the game comes out, and I like to make my characters look like Denzel Washington from Book of Eli, just because I love that movie.
That's a great movie.
Thank you. So when I play the game and I'm playing as a black man and a white Irish dude's voice is coming out of it, it takes me out of it. And then when it gives me the options of yes, no, sarcastic, but yes, and more information, I'm like, half the time, no is a yes anyway.
That was okay. So that was the only thing that I didn't like, was that you weren't always sure what you were actually saying.
Yeah.
When you selected an option, because, you know, sarcastic, it didn't really matter because you were going to say something stupid.
Yeah.
But you could say yes, and then you ended up being like, sure, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, I didn't mean that. You know, it was like you ended up saying things. You were just like, oh, no, I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have done that if I'd known you were going to say that. And there were a lot of times when I don't know, you kind of got yourself into something where you were like, I didn't mean to get into that because I didn't know that that was coming. And I don't know if that kind of made the game more interesting because you didn't know it was like the gotcha part, or if that's the thing that everybody says, oh, it killed it for me because I didn't know. But, you know, I kind of just took it as it's part of the game, you know, the whole kind of a gambling type of option. You know, you just have to roll with what you were given. It's kind of like if your DM, you know, you say something and then your DM says, okay, well, there's this. And then this also happens. And you're like, didn't see that coming. So it's just, I kind of took it as that part of the role play.
Well, I ended up doing a lot of saving of my game to get around that.
That too. I mean, you could always just save it and go, oh, I didn't like that option, and go back and do it again. You know, you can always do that too. Just always make sure you save before you do your speech check, you know?
All right. Talking about audio, talking about, you know, your character's voice and stuff like that. I think the biggest thing I was missed in 4 was every time you wore the complete Silver Shroud outfit, all of your conversations should have been like, I am the Silver Shroud. You know,
all
like
the conversations, not just the Silver Shroud voice. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That needed to
should have been, I mean, all of them.
Know, like you're going into a fight, villain, you are going to die. You know, I just, that was the best.
Every response, every answer. Yeah. It's
starting to sound more like All Might to me, though.
I am
here, so citizen.
Yes.
I don't know. That's kind of, I mean, I think that's a good segue into the topic that I want to talk about with you guys today. Hey, everybody, real quick, I got to take a break to thank the Patreon. Because of you guys, the show continues to grow and get bigger and better. And I have to thank a couple people. Starting at the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Danny. Thank you, Danny. After Danny, it's Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank TP. Thank you to TP. And last, but certainly not least, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you, guys. Because of you, I continue to try new things and do different stuff, and I can continue to make the show bigger and better. And I love you, and I thank you. Now, please, back to the episode with Fallout Roundtable. Enjoy. I hope you guys like this one. I had a great time recording it. All right, here it is. Have fun. Bye. I love you. And I just kind of want to know where you guys feel like the series is, like where it's going. Because I don't really get to have a conversation. Like, I have friends that are into Fallout, but they're not like into it that I feel like I want to sit there and talk about like the niche stuff that I feel like people don't necessarily know about. Like, I tried to talk to a friend who I thought was a huge Fallout fan about like New Canaan. And they were like, I don't know what you're talking about. And it's kind of just the idea of where the series is going, because as much as I have this shrine here behind me to my favorite thing ever, I feel like it's gotten so far away from like its original intent of just being a critique of capitalism and consumption and what happens when we try to play God. And then you get into Fallout 3, which is my favorite game ever. And you can kind of see that, but at the same time, it plays really heavily on the, it's the 50s, but the future motif, and Fallout 1 and 2 really, it's there, but it's not like, hey, it's the 50s, but it's not. And like all this stuff back here, I see constantly there's like, hey, Bethesda sale. Here's new product. Here's new merch. And I love the collecting aspect of it, but like to put the Vault Boy's face on everything, it's almost like the Vault Boy is supposed to be a critique of mascots and how mascots pull you in to a brand and how it really is a soulless brand. Don't get me wrong. I want to get a Vault Boy tattoo. Like I'm about this stuff. I've got a bunch of blue and yellow and all over the place, but I'm just saying like, I think there's a difference between acknowledging it and then it just being the face of it. Like the Vault Boy was never supposed to, in my opinion, be the face of Fallout. But then, like I said, with Fallout 4, you get to something that is so far removed from the, in my opinion, from the idea of a RPG. And it's just, here's a voice protagonist and railroading. There's no karma in that game. Like I never felt like anything I did really had any weight because it felt like it was ultimately going to choose who you want to go to. And that's where your end is. The first time I played through, I did the Brotherhood and I didn't feel like a bad guy. Like I didn't feel like I did the wrong choice. Like I felt like I just played the game. And then something like 76 comes out and I think 76 is fine. I appreciate the communal aspect of it. I think that's great that there's been community that has popped up around it and people are enjoying it. I can't take away somebody's enjoyment of the game. 76 has the best map. Like, I will not argue if anybody, like, it has the best map. It's huge. It's vibrant. It feels like I'm in a real place. I really enjoy 76's map. But, like, I was someone who was playing the beta and day one, and the whole time I just was like, what am I doing? Like, none of this feels like where I'm at. And I'm scared. Like, I had a recent episode where I was talking about just the iconography of the game and how I think power armor is far too relied upon. Like, I think it's cool that it's there, and I think it should be there in some extent.
I hate power armor. Like,
no, me too. But it's just like Fallout 4, why is the cover of Fallout 4 power armor? Why is the cover of 76 power armor? New Vegas is the Desert Ranger. It makes sense. Three kind of makes sense because it's so heavily Brotherhood. One had it because it was supposed to be these metallic monks in the desert that you stumbled upon. You work with them, but you're never like a part of them. And then Fallout 2's is the Enclave, the advanced power armor. So like, it's thematic, but it feels like it's just being done to be done. Like, I love this series and I'm very critical of it because of how much I love it. And I just want to know where you guys are kind of at.
I think one thing that, and I thought you were going to hit on it, but you didn't quite get there, about 76. And you were talking about the fact that there's no repercussions. And that's true in 76. You can be a raider and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can be a settler and it doesn't matter. I play one character as Enclave and it doesn't matter. And, you know, and that's the thing about 76. It, you don't have to, like, you choose a side, you don't choose a side. My middle character is, because I have three characters, and one is Enclave and one is Responder, Free State. I may role play her as Brotherhood. And then I've got one character. She's a mercenary spy. So she is not affiliated. If you have caps, she's your girl. But, you know, there's literally no difference in gameplay for them at all. None. So, you know, it doesn't make any difference. And 4 was kind of the same way, but then I kind of played it that way. I kind of played it where, you know, I was looking for my son. I didn't care. I mean, I wanted to destroy the Institute. I haven't actually done that yet. I haven't finished this game. I have not finished 4. I will destroy the Institute. I may or may not destroy the Brotherhood. I haven't quite decided. I did become general of the Minutemen and, you know, helped the Brotherhood, or the, not Brotherhood, the Railroad. But I don't feel like that really changes anything with anybody else. You know, it's like, it doesn't make a difference. And in 4, you know, Raiders hate everybody, so it doesn't really matter. They hate everybody. I did kill them in Nuka World because I didn't want to give up all my settlements. Sorry, I worked too hard on them.
But I don't think Raiders hate anybody. I think they're actually indifferent.
They'll kill you. They'll shoot you on sight. So I took it as hate. You know, and maybe that's indifference too. But I just, yeah, I feel like, you know, 3 was definitely a big deal because whatever you did mattered, because that reflected on your character and how people treated you. Like I said, I mean, I played as like I would play. And so I ended up being the, you know, savior of the wasteland or whatever. Mm. But in the beginning, when I was trying to live or whatever, and I had to steal a couple of things, I wasn't like the good girl, because I actually was able to. I was confused at first because I had Jericho as a companion, and then all of a sudden I didn't.
Really?
Because I was too good. He will only be your companion if you're a bad girl.
Yeah.
So, and then I was like, why, you know, first of all, I could never find him, and then he wouldn't talk to me. And I was like, well, why won't you talk to me anymore, man? And I realized it's because I was too good. So,
well, see, I had something similar with that with 3, because when I saw what Romer was saying about with E3, when I saw Fallout 3 at E3, I remember going, this is a game where I can be the villain. And I had never seen that before. So like my first playthrough of like 200 hours on Fallout 3 was just me going to every settlement I could find that wasn't Rivet City and mowing them down. So it's empty.
I thought about doing that.
It's just children running around. Like I have a bunch of little lamplights throughout the wasteland because of it. Like, and that was such a powerful thing to me. And then you play Fallout 4 and I go to a town and I want to kill everybody there. And it's like they just sit on the ground. It's like this person is exhausted. And I'm like, why?
But then when you come back like several days later, they're not mad at you anymore.
Yeah.
It's all fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like they're over it. they're okay with it. They're like, oh, there's that guy, but you know, it's all right.
And I get it.
Just killed everybody.
Bethesda makes games kind of like in phases. Like Oblivion is very different from Morrowind is very different from Oblivion, and Oblivion is very different from Skyrim. And I get that. Skyrim, I feel like, lacked a lot of RPG elements.
And I didn't like Skyrim, to be honest with you.
I put my 80 hours into it and I never needed to go back.
Yeah.
And I've tried multiple times and I just can't do it. I don't know what it is. And
I think it's the ambiance, to be honest
really?
With you. Yeah, I just because like all right, when you play Oblivion, right? Yeah. You've got a lot of like oranges and browns and stuff like that, and the color palette is different. Now, when you get into Skyrim, it's a lot of grays and whites and you know darks, and there's nothing else to it. I think the color palette actually has a turnoff to certain individuals' psyche. I just that's my take on it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I didn't play Fallout 4.
Really?
Because in my mind. Because I was playing Fallout 3 when Fallout 4 came out, because I was late to the party. And I played Fallout 3 after I watched my son play it. And then Fallout 4 came out and he was playing that. And I was playing Fallout 3 in the bedroom on my Xbox. And he's playing Fallout 4 in the living room on his Xbox. And I'm like, it's too bright.
It's too clean.
It's too bright. It's like everything's so...
It makes me feel happy and I don't like that.
Yeah. And I was like, no, Fallout should be... dirty and done, you know, really dingy and you know, gray and you know, so yeah, I almost didn't play Fallout 4 because I was just like, what the heck?
It seemed too bubblegum.
Yeah.
Fallout 4, like this is the most pessimistic take, but it has for me, it has too much hope.
Yeah. I think you mentioned that before. Yeah.
Like yeah. I like the idea of walking through a wasteland and being like, my God, everything is dead. Like The Road. You ever see the movie The Road or read the book?
Oh, jeez.
That's
like, rough. But then you go to the movie and the book are rough.
You go to 76 then, and it's just like you don't even see like it was never like nuked. You know,
the original Road Warrior, the very first element of it, that was a very 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 dark movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Road Warrior.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, his kids. Head rolling down the street.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, the first one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I haven't seen that one. There was actually since I'm going away for Christmas, this will be one of the episodes that I'm recording ahead of time that'll come out. Happy New Year. I didn't even say that in the intro. This is coming out the first week of the new year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Miss Christmas. No.
But I reviewed The Road Warrior with a friend. I had no clue Road Warrior was the second one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no clue. I thought it was Road Warrior, something else, and then Thunderdome. I had no clue.
Yep. No, there was an original.
Yeah. I got to find that one on Blu-ray somewhere. But I like the desolate. I like the macabre. I like that's what I like. And 76, like I said, has the best world and things are falling apart, but things feel like they're almost falling apart like too quickly for me.
Just due to neglect. Let's like, because it's only been 25 years.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it'd be like, are pipe weapons in 76?
Yeah.
See, that
makes
more sense to me for them to be 200 years later, because it's like, we can kind of reverse engineer guns, but it's been 25 years. Who's like, and in West Virginia, who's like, oh, we don't have enough guns in West Virginia.
I know.
Like,
I don't have these rifles hanging up all over the door.
Like, I don't think 76 is a bad game. I just don't think it's the game for me. And it's what scares me is, like I was saying before we started recording, we haven't seen anything of Starfield. They were like, it's coming in November. And they were like, it's not coming in November.
It'll be the first quarter.
Yeah.
And everybody said they will announce it, you know, in the fall.
My personal opinion is it's not going to live up to the hype.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
I've seen some reviews and playtesters and stuff who've said that it's going to be really good, but that's why it's taking so long. They learned what they learned.
Oh, I expect it to be a really good game. I just don't think it's going to be this over the top, rock your world kind of game.
Everybody is hyping it so much. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so great.
That's why I don't watch trailers. Space. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I watch trailers after they come out.
I probably won't even play it, to be honest, y'all, because it's not my genre. I don't do space.
See, I don't either, but they said pirates. And I was like, I will make the exception for space pirates.
If I can play Eve
for
a number of years, I can give Starfield a chance.
But they're like, you can build your own ship and you can pilot a green worlds and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't know. Maybe because I'm sure that people in my house would be interested.
A few years back, had all this hype, the No Man's Sky or something like that.
Yeah, but No Man's Sky rips, but No Man's Sky is doing what 76 is kind of trying to do.
Right, right.
No Man's Sky is awesome.
Yeah, now it is. Back then, it was like, what
the heck? The beginning of it was a train wreck. But
I went to the midnight for No Man's Sky.
I think that's what Bethesda's trying to avoid is the problems that they had with Bethesda, the 76 launch and just different things. They're just wanting a smoother launch because everybody's going to complain. Everybody's going to whine and moan.
They don't want a cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, too.
Well, how do you guys feel about the show? The Fallout show that's coming out.
Oh my God, I cannot Amazon. Wait. I cannot wait. Especially since, have you guys seen the trailer for The Last of Us?
I've been trying to stay away from it.
Holy crap, y'all. It looks amazing.
I have minor gripes with it just because I love The Last of Us so much. Like, they changed it from 2013 to 2003. Why?
I didn't know about that because everything else looks so good.
I'm very excited for it.
In the trailer, everything looks good. Everything looks
accurate.
Yes.
Desolate.
Yeah. Have you seen it, Romer? Buildings.
I want to say something, but I don't want to ruin anything.
I really don't either, but everything looks good. Everything looks good. Even the actor. Do you think the actor looks?
Yeah,
I think he looks pretty.
I honestly thought somebody else could have been Joel, but after seeing the trailer, I'm just like, okay, never mind.
I want to know if he's going to be that thought too.
But when you see him, it's just like I totally buy it now.
I see him as Joel. I want to know if he's a grump ass like Joel. That's what I'm looking forward to.
We'll find out. But I cannot wait.
Well, I mean, he's kind of an ass in the beginning of Mandalorian, so.
Is he? Okay, yeah. I've never seen Mandalorian. I only know him from, honestly, I know Pedro Pascal from... What? Yeah, what? I'm not a Star Wars guy.
Dude, Mandalorian... Hey, Mandalorian is not Star Wars.
Trust me, still really
it's
good.
Not Star Wars. It has the elements of Star Wars, but it's not Star Wars.
Really?
Loosely affiliated? I don't know. Yeah, not Star Wars. I mean, Baby Yoda is...
If your vision of Star Wars is that whole Disney element of everything, then yeah.
No, I appreciate Star Wars for what it is, but I actually just had this conversation at work. Star Wars was lost on me by the time I saw it, because I don't think I saw it till I was like in high school. And everything that I had seen had already been influenced and referenced Star Wars. So I had seen Star Wars already.
He's not OG like us. We all saw it in the theaters when it first came out.
Oh, don't get me wrong. When they did the new trilogy, I was the first one there because I went, this is my generation Star Wars. Like, I'm excited for this.
Oh, but you got the garbage.
I thought the first one was fine.
Oh, wow. All right. So how do I feel about the franchise, basically?
Yeah.
The direction that's going. I, by nature, am a very pessimistic person.
Mm-hmm.
Not pessimistic. Wait, half glass, half full?
Yeah. That's optimistic.
I'm an optimist. Okay. Sorry. I'm tired. But... I usually give things the benefit of the doubt and give things a try and stuff. And I did. I had friends who were just like, this is, Fallout 4 is not, not the Fallout games. It's nothing like New Vegas or 3 and blah, blah, blah and stuff. And I got it, but I still enjoyed it immensely.
I enjoyed it. I don't want you to think that I didn't.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think 76 was a wake-up call. In a sense, but I guess we will find out with Starfield. I think, the release of 76 and And the fact that we were talking about this earlier today is that Todd Howard was like, I was not expecting you guys to turn this into a community. I thought you guys were going to turn this into a battle royale, you know, and stuff. So I'm hoping Todd learns his lesson. Probably not.
Yeah. But,
I don't think we'll see multiplayer again.
No,
I mean, we already know.
I'm not talking about the multiplayer aspect of it. One of the things that I liked about Fallout 3 is the fact that, in general, for me, when it comes to games, I play a game. I play games for the story. Very rarely do I play a game for the mechanics and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'll finish a game, and then everyone's like, "Oh, you got to draw. You got to do new game plus." And I'm just like, "I already did the story. I'm out." You know?
Really? Okay.
But with Fallout 3. I played Fallout 3. I finished it. I got two different endings because I saved at a certain point, you know, and stuff like that. And I did Survivor of the, you know, Savior of the Wasteland kind of thing and stuff. And I thought, well, I can play it differently because I can change the game. And so basically I started the game out and I went to Megaton and I nuked Megaton. I blew Megaton up.
Yeah.
And so I spent the rest of the game trying to put my karma into the positive. So I had that stacked against me, all the karma of, you know, destroying a city and all the people in it. Mm-hmm. And then I spent the rest of the game trying to fix my karma in a sense. So that was a unique aspect that is definitely missed. Cause I'd like just said, Fallout 4, no matter what you do, you know, it doesn't change the outcome of the game. Whereas like everyone treated me different after I, you know, nuked one of the cities.
I don't want it to come off that I didn't enjoy any of these games. Like I do, they have aspects that I enjoy about them. I very much enjoy Fallout 4's building. I know Sassy, you do as well. Like there are certain things about, like, I think New Vegas's base world is incredibly boring, but its DLC is S plus. Like the DLC for New Vegas. I think about Joshua Graham and Ulysses like every week, constantly. Like they are characters that have stood with me for so long, but it's just like, and I just wish they would read, because I don't think we're gonna get new Fallout until 2030.
It's gonna be a long time, and that's one thing that I hate, is because it's like we have to wait for Starfield and then we have to wait for Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah,
then we can get Fallout, and it's like we'll be dead by then.
Don't forget about all the other little projects on the side they'll be doing too. That'll get distracted from.
Just like, remaster 3 in New Vegas.
That would be nice. Graphics
and put it on new consoles. That's it.
And then people would be like, oh. But the thing is, and like people have been asking for that forever, or for a playable 1 and 2, and
yes,
or something. And it's just, I don't know when we're ever going to see another game, but it just seems like, okay, you know, Sony owns you now. Can we not?
Or Microsoft? Oh, yeah. The bot, yeah.
I mean, can you not? You've been bought. Xbox owns you, whatever. Can you not, like, hire more people and, like, maybe work on 2 games at a time now?
There was a rumor that they wanted to take people from Obsidian, people from Bethesda, people from...
I heard that.
And a bunch of other people, and make a studio that was just working on Fallout stuff, which would be cool.
Which would have been great.
Yeah, if they could just put everyone there. It would have been
great, because all those people were nothing but Fallout.
Yeah.
You know, Obsidian, and, you know, that would have been great. But I don't think it's going to happen, because for some reason, this is not how Bethesda works.
Yeah.
Anybody, one game at a time.
The focus is the current project, because that's where the money is going.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But
anybody have anything they want to say before we wrap?
Chicken butt.
Cool.
Oh goodness.
So if you guys want to thank you again for being here, if you guys want to tell us a little bit about your program and where everybody can find you, there'll be links in the description below to their you guys are on YouTube, correct?
Yes, we're on YouTube, and we're on all different what do you call them, podcatchers all over the place,
you know, Spotify
and all that fun stuff. You can also send us an email at followrtb@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at followrtb.
Cool. I'll leave all that in the description.
Yay.
So thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I'll do outro stuff separately by myself. If anybody has any last minute things they want to say, go right ahead. And then I'm going to, I guess, we're good.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I love your display of stuff. I've been sitting here like staring at it, going like,
"Oh, is that just display?" Yeah.
No.
I want to put mine behind me, but it's all models right now. So,
can you send us a picture of your models?
I pay money to have you drink one of the sodas.
He's going to.
That's actually going to be
when he. It's one of his.
Yeah,
what, follower goals or something.
When I hit 1,000 subs, I'm gonna drink that on a stream.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'll just fill it with blue liquid and put a cork in it and just be like, all right, whatever. I could buy.
I think that's what I'm gonna do with my.
Yeah.
Yeah, my jug of, I made a Nuka Shine jug and I'm gonna fill it up with window washer fluid, I think.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us. It's fun.
Wasn't that great? I really enjoyed that. I had a great conversation with everybody here. I hope we get to work together again sometime soon, sometime in the future, and especially with all five of them. If you enjoyed the program, below will be links to all of the Fallout Roundtable stuff, their Twitter, their email address, their Discord. Everything is below in the description. Please check them out, because I think they genuinely make fantastic content. If you like the intro music to this show, it's by the one and only Shane Ivers. It's called Feather Duster, and you can get it at silvermansounds.com/freemusic. You could throw another slash and put a feather duster and get the intro song, or free music gets you every single one of his heaters. There's a link in the description to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Kyle's Twitter. There's also links to the Redbubble, the Patreon. Thank you to the Patreon once again. And a bunch of other fun stuff down there if you'd like to support the show in any way possible. You can find us anywhere you can find a podcast, or YouTube, which I think is the premier way to watch the show. I love you very much. Thank you for this. Should be back to our regularly scheduled programming this coming week. I love you very much, and I'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.